Hello and welcome to Super Saturdays, a comic book media podcast, where each episode we will be focusing on your favorite comic books, TV shows, and movies to figure out if these projects will stand the test of time. I'm Dan Monet, and on today's episode, I'm joined by an amazing, spectacular, astonishing, sensational, I don't know what other Spider-Man titles could really use, but a fantastic guest.
Hello everyone, thanks again for Damon for inviting me. My name is Adi, but most of you guys on the internet know me as Haruchi on Twitter. Yeah, and thanks again.
Before we dive in, let's just get on with the show. Before we start doing some news roundup, I just want to say once again, because I know we were talking about it before I got in here, your art is fantastic. I love your art. Like, that honestly is what really got me interested in having you on the show, especially for Spider September. I love your work. Outside of just the multiple Spider-Men you did, I also like the one with the orange backdrop and just using the collage. Listen, I'm having a moment. I'm having a moment, y'all. But how long have you been doing art?
Honestly, I've started drawing since I was 6 years old.
Okay.
But I've been kind of taking it more seriously first time when I entered my university. About 7 years ago. Six years ago.
Okay. So of all your stuff, what has been your favorite thing you've worked on?
Honestly, I don't know. Most of my digital stuff, I kind of struggle a lot with drawing on digital because I don't know a lot of tricks. I don't know how to kind of get some textures, colors, but overall, and I'm still trying to find out my brush to draw on digital. And I always loved drawing traditionally. And most of my cool stuff that I think what was ever done was done in traditional. Yeah.
Okay. I noticed that, like, in a couple of your shots, you have, like, real world, like, pictures in the background as a backdrop. Did you get the idea to start doing, like, to do that? That's what I love most about your stuff.
It's just me being lazy. Yeah. Because I already have a kind of, let's say, experience in drawing backgrounds, different kind of backgrounds, like alleys, some city establishment shots, because I've already worked on some comic book titles in my country, in Kazakhstan.
Okay.
And yeah, we even published 4 issues. And yeah, it was really tiring drawing backgrounds, and I really hated it because I can draw characters easily, like in any pose. Well, okay, not easily. Most of the time. Let's say most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when I draw them, like, I waste no time. But when it comes to adding in details such as background and other stuff, and man, yeah, it becomes kind of really hard because you have to regulate your brush size.
Mm-hmm.
So the lines won't kind of interfere with each other, and you can clearly see the main characters and the background, like distinct as the two separate things. So yeah, that's why I decided, you know what, my main point of view is Spider-Man, so who cares about background? let's just try this one. And yeah, it seems like more people liked it. And yeah, and I decided to keep going with it.
Okay. I mean, I would say that it really adds, like, a difference in your work. It adds a little bit of sauce to it. Like, it adds more difference to, like, your stuff. So I love seeing it. I love seeing your work, and I want to keep seeing more of it. So before we dive into our little news roundup, we're talking about Spectacular Spider-Man today. This is an amazing television show. This is a show that I love, and I'm assuming you love, Haru. And a lot of Spidey people love, but you know, before we get into talking about Spectacular Spider-Man, I want to know, are you ready for some news roundup?
I guess I am.
All right. Well, let's cut the music. Two items for news roundup. Just two items. So in recent Nightwing comics, Batman has squeezed his ass into Nightwing's suit and
squeezed my tiny ass up in this. Upstage these bitches up in here.
He is filling in for Nightwing at the moment. I think that's kind of cool, kind of funny, but also kind of cool. Hodder, are you a Nightwing fan?
Sorta. Not a big fan, but I kind of like his character.
Okay.
Yeah, even my email is like Nightwing Adil. Yeah.
Okay.
I created it when I was a kid in high school, so yeah.
Honestly, it makes me feel any better. I have like a Yahoo account that I don't use, and it's like peter.parker or whatever. So honestly, kid emails are usually have the best names, I would say. Some interesting stuff. This is from the Tom Taylor run that's still ongoing. Not really sure about the context of why Batman is filling in for Nightwing, but I'm assuming it's just because Nightwing's trying to clear his name. We also have some Spidey news. Our next part of the news roundup, we're going to be talking about Ultimate Sinister Six. So there's a cover that dropped for Ultimate Spider-Man issue number 8, and it's showing the new Sinister Six. Have you been like keeping up with Ultimate Spider-Man currently?
Oh yes, of course. And also going back to the previous question, I looked up a little bit about the Nightwing. I don't read it usually. Okay, I don't read it at all, but I do love a lot about the art. And yeah, you know, in the context, I guess, of the comic book itself, I think the case of Batman wearing a Nightwing suit is kind of interesting because at the times when Batman was missing, his position was every time filled with his apprentice, like Robin and the other guys. And so, yeah, I guess it's an interesting turn, but it raises a lot of other questions like Batman's identity or Nightwing's reputation, because everybody knows like how Nightwing looks. And yeah, but yeah, I think in the future it will be interesting to see how it will turn out.
Sorry to cut you off. You know, I going off what you just said, it makes me wonder, like, how does Batman have the time to do it all with that? Like, okay, this day I'm going to go over to Bloodhaven for like maybe like 4 or 5 hours. All right, cool. Take myself out of this like Nightwing suit. All right, Alfred, have the bat suit ready in the bat cave. I'm on my way back to Gotham. And they got to do it like clockwork every single day.
Yeah. I guess Gotham has its own heroes, you know? Like, Batman is not alone.
True.
In the Gotham. But in Blackhaven, Nightwing is alone, I think.
Yeah, pretty sure he's the only one there, I think. I don't know. But yeah, no, back to Ultimate Spider-Man. You were saying that you've been keeping up with that. Have you seen the Ultimate Sinister Six on the cover?
Yes, I did. They were also appeared in the current issue, like that was recently published. And yeah, I think it's an interesting members in the Sinister Six group.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of dropped off of Ultimate Spider-Man, mainly because I just haven't had the time to go to the comic shop. But from what I was reading, I think I got up to issue, I want to say 6. So, like, I'm not that far behind. And I've been loving it. I've been loving it a lot, actually. Like, it's been hitting the nail on the head for everything that I love about Spidey. Even seeing an older Peter Parker, fun. Seeing Mary Jane, fun. Kids, fun. Just it, art, amazing. Like, I'm here for it. I'm here for it all.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree with the statement that you made, because yeah, it kind of gives what Spider-Man fans were waiting all along, the whole Pamela stuff. But also, it brings out the new stuff too. Like, we always see how Peter as a teenager gets bitten by a spider and kind of try to learn how to be a Spider-Man. But this time we've got a married man, an old man. Mm. Okay, not an old man, but middle-aged man, let's say. And yeah, that's kind of an interesting perspective of becoming Spider-Man, I guess. Because he's already a man with established principles.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of knows what to already to do, I guess. Because the first arc is just about him trying to kind of trying to learn use his powers. And we also see that he's not very a techie guy. Like, he's not into technology, and he's just a journalist who tries to seek the truth, who tries to do right stuff. And yeah, as we learn later in the Ultimates comics, we know that the Peter is just one of the few who accepted this offer of becoming a superhero at this age, because most of the heroes just didn't accept it, or already died, or maybe they're drunk, not sober enough to wear a cape, you know? Yeah, I think it's overall really cool stuff.
I think making Peter a reporter, I think that was a good change of pace. And like, even down to them showing that he does have an appreciation for science still, but like, it was more of a, this is a part of me I didn't really explore. Like, it's like, this is cool, but I'm not like a science nerd or whatever. I think that was really cool. It's a nice little touch, I would say. And just everything you were saying about it, like, I fully agree. This is a great turn of events. And I haven't been keeping up with the other Ultimate stuff. I really want to get back into keeping up with it. I kind of just fell off for a little bit, but I'm going to have to catch up with it. Mm. Which, you know, we were talking about some different reasons as to why we love Ultimate Spider-Man. My question for you, Haru, is why do you love Spidey? What do you love most about Spider-Man?
What do I love the most? I think when I was a kid, I loved Spidey because he was cool. That's it. But
that's a good
when
reason.
I was, he was cool. He had a colorful costume, and he had some cool villains. Yeah, that's it. That's the only reason that I needed when I was a kid. But now, looking at it, I really do love Spidey because I kind of appreciate that he is still trying to be better at the times when he can easily give up. He could easily do some wrong stuff. And with that power, you know, looking at the things that happens in the real world right now, you can do anything. And yeah, you can just go on with it. No one will do to you anything. Maybe you will die, but it's a least probable thing in most cases. And look at it now, we see that Peter Parker still tries to be a good man. After all, bad stuff happened to him, like the money problems, the death problems, the whole super villains who tries to mess up with his Spider persona and Peter Parker persona as well. Yeah, I really appreciate that, and I love seeing that in any media. Yeah, that's why I love him, because he's relatable. Yeah, that's it, because he's relatable.
I think that's like, you encapsulated every single reason why I love Spider-Man, Peter Parker, and just Spider-Man as a character, because I love all the spider people. I think there might be a little too many spider people in some areas, but like, I love Spider-Man down to everything you said, the relatability, the soap opera of it all, the random problems and everything. I think that's one of the reasons why I love Spectacular Spider-Man, because it does a good encapsulation of all of that. We're getting closer to really getting into the weeds of this conversation, but before we get into that, one more question for you. What do you think makes a great Spider-Man animated series? Because there's been a couple different ones. in my opinion, there's been at least one shitty one. But like, we're not talking about that right now. Actually, two. We're not talking about that right now. Okay. What makes a good Spider-Man animated series?
Honestly, overall, any adaptation of Spider-Man in TV or on big screen always requires, in my opinion, the kind of presence of his social life, of his social circle, and the whole Peter Parker life. Because without the Peter Parker problems, without his friends, his Aunt May, his significant others, without all this drama, there would be no Spider-Man. It would be just a regular superhero who just wouldn't really much care about his own personal life. But that's the point of Spider-Man, being Spider-Man, because you cannot keep up with your personal life and heroic life. And we can see that he always chooses to be a hero, but he also needs to maintain and try to kind of hang out, or maybe try to make up some time for those who he really cares about. And yeah, if any Spider-Man adaptation recreates this idea of his, or takes into consideration his social life with a lot of respect, I guess for me, this would be a really good Spider-Man adaptation, regardless where the setting is. If we can see that he struggles and he tries to deal with it and still comes out as a better man, yeah, that's a great adaptation to me in any case.
I think this entire episode so far I've been saying, yeah, yeah. Mainly because we got the same like agreements and thoughts on this, seriously. But like, I agree with everything you've just said. I think a great adaptation for Spider-Man is focusing on his supporting cast, the problems, what makes him. And I think the best adaptations of Spider-Man has room for his supporting cast. I feel like, you know, a lot of people forget that a supporting cast, day-to-day life characters that are in other properties are just as important. Kind of similar to how, like, when you think of Superman, you still think of Lois Lane. Like, they're like this. You can't have a Superman adaption without Lois Lane. And with Spider-Man, the same could be said about a supporting cast. So, as I said before, we're going to be talking about Spectacular Spider-Man, which does an amazing job with his supporting cast. So, Haru, are you ready to dive in?
Yeah, I'm all in. I'm ready.
All right, well, boom, 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 boom. Edit this in post, amen. Yeah. Okay, so we got the summary. The Spectacular Spider-Man is a series that ran between March 8th, 2008 and March 18th, 2009 for two seasons. It follows the adventures of Peter Parker as he deals with his social life, a part-time job, and school while secretly being the costume superhero Spider-Man. I got one fact before we like talk further. Just got one fact. This is the first Spider-Man show that shows Peter in high school. Like, this was the first one. And the 90s one, he was in college.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one in the 60s one, he was already like a young adult in college. They had like the flashback to the events. Yeah. And then in the 90s one, I think he didn't get his powers as a teenager. They had a flashback, but I don't know if he was a teenager when he got the powers. But mm-hmm. This is the first one that shows him in high school, which when I found that fact out, I was like kind of taken aback. I was like, damn, that's actually very interesting.
Yeah, honestly, yes, it's something new, because every time when I see some opinions on the internet, most of the time guys like to complain that we've seen enough of Peter in his high school life. But yeah, looking back at it, we have Spectacular Spider-Man. After that, it becomes whole high school thing that we tend to see now. But yeah, that's an interesting take, because before that, yeah, we didn't really see that much of his high school life. Even in Sam Raimi Spider-Man, we see just a little bit of it, but nothing special, you know.
It's like 5 seconds, and then he's like, boom, go to college. That's it. Like, that's it. I don't blame him, though, because I think Spider-Man's best stuff in the comics happens when he's in college. And I think that's when the story gets a little bit more interesting. Because I like seeing nerdy Peter Parker, but I'm going to be honest, sometimes I don't want to see hates the world nerdy Peter Parker. I want to see semi-cool nerdy Peter Parker. So I understand why they want to whisk him off to college. Yeah. But I love Spectacular Spider-Man for like a lot of different reasons. It's it was like the first show, Spider-Man show, that like I for real watched while it was like coming on, because Gen Z. But and the animation, the pacing, the voice acting, the comedy. This show was funny, like genuinely funny at times. And looking back at it and sitting down and watching this first episode, it just was, you know, just had a vibe. It was a feeling. What was your initial thoughts with the show? Did you grow up with the show? Did you like, you know, what did you think when you had to sit down and rewatch it or whatever?
Yeah, I grew up with the show. I mean, I've discovered it when I was in school too. Like, I don't know which grade I was. Maybe 8th, maybe 7th. I guess 7th. But yeah, still up to this date, I still love to rewatch it. Like, I watch it 3 to 5 times a year.
Okay.
Yeah, and I recently watched the whole series again in like 2 days. And man, every time I watch it...
In 2 days?
Yes.
Oh! Yeah.
I'm just working, drawing some stuff, maybe writing some papers and stuff. And yeah, I just watched on a side screen. But okay. Yeah, regardless, even when I watch it this way, I still cry like a baby. I'm still amazed by all the dialogues, the whole things that they are trying to kind of teach us with these episodes. And yeah, every time I'm seeing it, I love it. And I can't wait to see more. But then I watched the last episode, and then I realized there's no continuation. There's nothing. And there will be nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Damn, didn't have to make it all sad, Haru. But, you know, it's funny. It's funny because, like, I mean, a couple of years ago, I found out what Greg Wiseman's plans for this show was. And I was sitting there like, damn. Because I remember he said that initially they're planning to have at least 70-something episodes. And then he was planning to have at least 3 TV or DVD movies or whatever. And the show was supposed to be like, okay, season 1 was supposed to be sophomore year. And then there's going to be a DVD movie that was like during the springtime. And then, boom, the other season. And then, boom, movie. Boom, season. And then, boom, movie. And then we would have like seen the show go all the way possibly to Peter and Mary Jane's marriage.
Yeah.
And every time I think about that future, I sit here and I think about how, wow, we had to live in the universe where we got Ultimate Spider-Man and we got that one Spider-Man show. Wow. I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but here I am talking about it. There it is. There, I said it. And I know there's fans for both of those shows. I know there are, but I'm not one of them. Not one of them.
Feel you. I got you. I totally understand that, you know. Yeah. Like,
what?
The Ultimate Spider-Man, and I couldn't watch till the end. I would just, I just watched it as a kid. But when the Spider-Man 2017 came out, I watched like first 3 episodes, and yeah, I really didn't like it. Like, I couldn't force myself to watch it later. I'm planning to watch it again, like full series, just to make sure that I can for sure know that I can hate it, you know?
That's fair.
Not hate it, not like it, not liking it.
That's fair, though. That's fair. At least you're giving it a shot. Me, I saw the first episode and I was like, no. But you know what? I think I might have to do what you're doing. Maybe I should give it like maybe a couple more episodes. Yeah. Maybe that's the case. With Spectacular Spider-Man, you watch it 3 times a year. So I'm assuming you're going to have more thoughts on this than I, even though I got an answer for this question. What would you say is your favorite episode from Spectacular Spider-Man?
I cannot outline only one episode. I would like to mention three. Let's say three.
Oh, okay.
The first, my top one, top favorite one is the fourth episode where they're introduced Shocker. The second one is the lizard one. Okay. The third episode. And one of the most favorite one is the 12th episode. Intervention from the season one. All these episodes from the season one.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
In the intervention episode, the Peter kind of breaks out of the symbiote's influence. Yeah, and with all these flashbacks and Ben Parker's appearance, yeah, this is one of the greatest episodes ever for me. And okay. Yeah.
I would have to say that mine is from season two, and it'd have to be the episode, I want to say, Gangland? It's the one where, like, all, like, the big bads are having, like, a whole brawl, and then there's, like, orchestral music playing in the background. Loved that. And I would even have to say, what was the one? The Midsummer's Night Dream one. The one where the goblin was took control of the...
Prison.
Yeah, the prison. That was dope. And then, you know, spoilers, but this show is over 10 years old, so how the hell is it? Spoilers. Since we're here, since we're talking about the goblin, what did you think about the twist?
I think it was great. Honestly, yeah, it was great. Because when I tried to show, like, kind of show the show, yeah, show the show to my peers, friends, they always be things like, oh, like, normal Osborn is Green Goblin, yeah? And I say, like, you know, we'll see. You never know for sure. And then they'll watch till the end of the first season, and they'll be like, wow, didn't expect that at all. But then they watch till the end of the second season, and they'll be like, yeah. Their reactions says it all. It's a great twist. I mean, we all know that Green Goblin is Norman Osborn. And by knowing this, they try to trick us. And I cannot say that it was the best kind of method of tricking us, but still is believable, considering Norman Osborn's character. Yeah.
I think they did a really good job with that twist. Because, like, if I could pull a video of my reaction as a kid watching that, like, I was shook. I was just sitting there like, wait. And then I remember watching season two and then having it be like, it was me, Harry. I was the one who did this. Like, I honestly think that was the best type of retcon slash twist I've seen done in a show in a minute. And it makes me wish that if we get, like, you know, a reboot of, like, Spider-Man, and they're trying to do, like, a bait and switch of who the goblin is, I wouldn't be opposed to something like that. I feel like that'd be pretty cool. And kind of like what you were saying, though, I've showed this show to a couple of different people. I remember back when I was in high school, and I had my friend watch the show. We were, like, watching it. We were, like taking our time watching it, and did not tell them anything. Yeah. They were irritated. They were like, why the fuck is Harry the goblin? What the fuck? Make that make sense. I mean, I guess I could understand. And then we get to the end of the show and it's like, okay. But I think, I remember you mentioned the dialogue. I was kind of taken aback with how good the dialogue is when I rewatched this show recently. The dialogue is so well done, and then even down with the voice acting. So if you have to choose your favorite character from this show, who was depicted the best in your opinion?
Oh man. This is an interesting question. I think Mary Jane. Yeah, I like Mary Jane a lot from the show.
Round of applause. Round of applause.
Yeah.
You know, the award for best guest goes to Haru. Round of applause. Round of applause.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks.
Yep. Yep. There we go. We stand Mary Jane Watson on this show. If you haven't noticed, but we stand. We stand. But continue.
Yeah. Overall, yeah, the show really did a great job depicting her as a standalone character, because he made a great appearance. I really like her appearance because it's like it was like in the comics, you know, they always mention her, and Peter is always kind of scared to meet her because he doesn't think she would look like this beautiful. Yeah. I guess it's just the teenage stuff, because yeah, every time when Altman brings up her in the show or in the comics, he always be like, no, I'm okay, I'm good, thanks, no time.
She next has a time, wonderful next personality.
Yeah. But yeah, regardless,
kind of shallow, but hey.
Yeah, but regardless, after they meet up, they dance, she still kind of knows her boundaries, you know, what she's doing. He kind of immediately knows that Eddie Brock might be onto something bad, because it's not kind of a good thing when your so-called brother is using you as a tool to kind of make you feel sad. And yeah, she also kind of tries to interact more with Gwen and Peter, and also kind of has her own mini arc in the end of the series with the Liz Allen's brother, Mark Allen. Yeah, Mark Allen. Yeah, I really liked watching it. Yeah, it's great additional stuff that they did with her.
I think they gave her a lot to do, which I think was really awesome. And the thing about having a show is that you're able to take so much time with all the characters. I think that's where the show shines. They're able to make the supporting cast living, breathing people, even down to the background characters. I'm thinking about the little Easter eggs in the background where there's like this couple that Spider-Man saves. And then throughout the show, you see them go on dates. And then finally, you see him propose to her.
Yeah,
I love that type of shit. And with Mary Jane, you know, I thought about this just now. Spectacular Spider-Man was my first time seeing comic book, like, adjacent Mary Jane's, her depicted close to how she's in the comics. Because prior to that, it was just the movies. I already liked her in the movies, but, like, the Spectacular Spider-Man made me like her even more and made me look more into the comics even further, into who this character is. So I think that was a good choice. I'm going to say something. It's going to be a little controversial.
Okay.
I'm kind of in between on the depiction of Eddie Brock in the show. I know some people like it. I know some people who were like, you know, he's all right. I think it was a great marriage between the 616 and Ultimate Universe.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Spectacular Spider-Man does really well. They like take Ultimate Spider-Man stuff and then they mix it with like 616 stuff. So that's freaking awesome. I'm in between. I don't know. I think the whole bro thing was played out, and the voice, I'm a little in between on the voice. That's my thoughts on it.
On the voice. Yeah. Eddie Brock, I think he was okay. He was not the best, and like maybe because of the symbiote, this like his reasons to hate Peter after like acknowledging that he is also Spider-Man kind of didn't make sense, but maybe because of the influence of the symbiote, he kind of just didn't think much about maybe like he already kind of discovered that Peter is Spider-Man, and he all his actions was done for the greater good. And yeah, and even after that, he still kind of hates on him. But I guess it's just symbiote's influence in the show. But overall, I guess he's okay. Like, he's has done his job as a character. Maybe we have seen his perspective of things, like he and he goes through a lot, I guess, while losing his job, while not being able to pay anything. And we see that he didn't have no one except himself. He didn't have his aunt like Peter did. Yeah, and all this stuff kind of maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
He's like a cracked mirror version of like Peter almost. Like he's literally a reflection of Peter. He's Peter if he didn't have Aunt May or he didn't have all the other type of stuff. And I think that's what I like about, like, that's the things I do like about this depiction of Venom. And it's reminded me of the episode where where he gets the symbiote again in season 2 and he is going to expose who Peter is. And then Flash puts on a costume. Speaking of Flash, Flash Thompson, I would say became one of my favorite supporting cast members on this show.
Yeah,
even he got his own little character arc almost. What was your thoughts on Flash Thompson?
Honestly, Flash Thompson was done really well in the show. Like, yeah, he is still your typical bully, but at the end of the day, he become a better man. He may not kind of love Peter or maybe kind of like him at all, even though all his friends started to like him. He still did his thing. He still helped, regardless of how he treats Peter. Like with the symbiote case, he was the only one who kind of told Peter to look around and think about what's the most important thing in your life, which is your friends who is trying to help you. And you're a real dumb man, like a dumb person if you're not accepting it. Like, I knew I called you dumb, but not this dumb, you know?
Mm.
And yeah, we also see that his new love interest is Shashan, who I recently discovered is a Vietnamese character that was originated in Spectacular Spider-Man comics. And yeah, in the comics, Flash was too in love with Shashan. But in comics, I wouldn't say it was love. It was more as an obsession with her. Because he was trying to make up for his mistakes as a soldier who fought in Vietnam. Because he and her was the only one who could understand each other. Mm. And all the traumas that they went through. But yeah, for Flash, Shashan was more of an obsession to kind of say sorry for all of his actions as a soldier. But yeah, I still like how creators of the show used this her as an additional character to make Flash to be more honest, to maybe find his own like new path as a man, because he doesn't need to show off in order to kind of make him superior than the others. He after Shashan, he realizes that he just needs to be himself. He just needs to be like an honest man. And yeah, I really like how it turned out with him.
I like how it turned out with him too. I didn't know. I knew that Shashan was in the comics, and I knew that she was love interest for Flash, but I didn't know that it was like written as. It's a little problematic. Not a little. That's damn.
Yeah.
Oh. God, but you know what? It's kind of reminded me about how Spectacular Spider-Man has, like, they're able to change characters and utilize characters to their fullest. And I think one of the things I really liked about Spectacular Spider-Man is that they were able to do diversity tastefully in the show, like, really, really well. Even down to giving Peter a little bit more of a supporting cast outside of, like, the usual people that we get. Yeah. I liked having Glory Grant there. I liked turning Ned Leeds into Ned Lee. That was pretty cool. And then making Liz Allen Latina. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I just love this show. This show's done so many different things right.
Yeah. I also love what I love the most about the show is the villains. Because, yeah, those villains, they are not your kind of regular supervillains with simplest. I mean, they kind of have simple motivations, but they are still you can still differentiate each one of them. And one of the most villains that I really love is the Shocker. Because Shocker in the show, and that's why I love the episode four of the show, because of him, because of the how he was treated in the show. Because in the show, he kind of teaches Peter that looking after your responsibility is like the thing that makes you a man. Mm. Because Shocker treats Spider-Man as his job, and his job, as his responsibility. And then Peter, after fighting him and listening to his words, he kind of goes to Aunt May and says, and kind of helps her out with the money problem, because he understands that the first responsibility is that his first responsibility is the Aunt May. And I can really relate to this topic, because looking at the Peter actions at the end of this episode really makes me kind of relate a lot, because I do have some kind of finance problems. And helping out my mother, father, is a really big deal to me. And when I saw this, how Peter learns this from a Shocker, like this little quote wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I see how it was applied at the end of the episode. I really loved it. Yeah.
I love the little lessons that are throughout this entire show. Had one in mind that I wanted to mention, but I can't really think back to it. But I really loved the episode with the Shocker. I'd say that is up there with a couple of my favorites. Even down to a little detail that happened in the first episode. And I liked that they could have just used "with great powers, great responsibilities" more of just a direct mantra within the show. But they actually show how Peter applies it in his beliefs and how to go through everything. Even down in the first episode when he's vamping, talking shit to the Vulture, he then is like, "Hey, have you ever thought of with great power comes great responsibility?" And it's like, that's interesting. Or even down to when he was with Captain Jupiter, Jameson's son, and he's trying to have a little conversation, you could be a hero with great power comes great responsibility. Yeah. And I think Spider-Man's at his best when they're applying that belief to him, where he genuinely tries to do the right thing because he believes that he has a responsibility. Does that responsibility sometime weighs on his mental health? Hell yes. Peter Parker can be kind of self-loathing, very self-loathing, actually very depressed, but he believes in responsibility. And that's a core belief that I highly respect that. I highly respect that. And I think that's something that if you can understand that, then you can understand a lot of Spider-Man.
Yeah, true. The same thing he did, I remember when he was fighting the Sandman in the season 2.
Ooh,
on an oil tank. Yeah, before that he even tells him, "You see, you can do this amazing stuff. Maybe you can just stop, And we see that in the end of the episode, Sandman be like, "I didn't want to kill anyone. I didn't want to cause any trouble. I just wanted get some money. That's it. I didn't ask for any of this." And then he just seemingly dies. But as it was real at the end of the episode, he didn't die. But still, he did the good thing, right thing, and was good to see too.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Speaking of the villains, actually, since you mentioned Sandman, it just made me think about the movies and whatnot. I think this is the type of show where I don't care about brand synergy, because this show, you can tell the Raimi movies had little sprinkles all up in there.
Of course.
Listen, on this show, we talk about how brand synergy can be annoying sometimes, but when I'm talking about Spectacular Spider-Man, I'm not talking about that, because the brand synergy in this show was tasteful. The Daily Bugle is a Flatiron building. Sandman, yes, he was depicted as sympathetic in the comics at some point, but the movie just came out, so we're going to show him having a sympathetic arc. Let's do it. Love it. Venom, freaking Spider-Man with the webs on his black suit. Great. Even the couple of different shots throughout the entire show where he's like, you know, got his little leg up here and whatnot, like on the train. Just random stuff throughout the entire show that has bits and pieces, wink and you'll miss it moments to the movies. I think this was just like a really special time to be a Spider-Man fan, almost. I'd say it. Maybe I'm being biased, but hey.
No, that's the truth. That's the truth. You're not biased. We all know that it was a great show, a great adaptation in the first place. Because, yeah, looking at the whole thing that was done on the show, the whole references, the whole stuff with the side characters, a lot of side characters, we see that it was a faithful adaptation to some extent. Because what's the main point of adapting something? Is to kind of show your vision to the world. And I think Greg Wiseman and his kind of staff did a really good job by showing their perspective on a whole Spider-Man story. Yeah, because as you know in the comics, Uncle Ben, he didn't play any role. Like, he just was there for one panel and then he died for a second one. Yeah,
and he was there with one mission. He was only there to die. That was it. He was just like, Peter. That's it.
Yeah, and we see that in the movies, like in the Sam Raimi's adaptation, we can see that now Uncle Ben has some kind of role, more important role in Peter's life than in Peter's life than was done in the comics, because in the comics he kind of figures out it himself. Like, with great powers come great responsibility. But in the show, in the movie, yeah, Uncle Ben has his own weight in the story by telling Peter, like, look at your life. Like, look at the man who you're trying to become. Mm-hmm. And that stuff. And I really love it because, yeah, it kind of is a significant part of his life. We see that in the flashbacks. That Uncle Ben really cared about him, and he still kind of cares about him in his mind or in his soul somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I loved the way that we were able to get to see how important Uncle Ben was to Peter in this show, especially in that symbiote episode where it's like the whole internal thing and everything. I think he was voiced by Ed Asner, rest in peace. But the way that Uncle Ben shows up, it's great. It's great. I think the best moments in any of the adaptions is when we get to see like a little bit more Uncle Ben. And I think that's why I have like a lot of love for the original Ultimate Spider-Man, where you got to see Uncle Ben with a ponytail, but you got to see Uncle Ben being the really cool uncle who had like that, like he was his father. I think that's why I like the Amazing Spider-Man movies, because they took a lot from Ultimate. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a couple of different panels where the dialogue mirrors what Uncle Ben is saying in the original Ultimate comics and Amazing Spider-Man. But yeah. So, all right. As we're closing out this episode, I got some more questions to ask you. Number one, do you think Spectacular Spider-Man will stand the test of time?
Yes, I do believe that. I do believe it with all my heart. Because great stories as like Spectacular Spider-Man, they will never die out. The fandom is huge. The fan base is huge. And yeah, I will to the end of my days, I will be drawing Spectacular Spider-Man fan art. That is why it won't die.
Okay. Yeah. All right. On a scale of 5, how would you rate it?
5? Okay. Not 5. 4.75. Maybe 4.8. Let's say that.
4.8? Why is 4.8?
The stuff with the Eddie Brock's motivations as a Venom, it might be some kind of not super good, but still watchable. And yeah, maybe there's still some other stuff, but I don't remember it because I only remember a good thing about the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
It's just not to be biased. That's why I'm giving it around 4.5 or 4.8 out of 5. Yeah.
Okay. I'd give it a 5. I feel like this show stands the test of time. I got the whole Blu-ray on my TV downstairs right now. And I love this show. This show, not only was it just a childhood type of gem, but it's like genuinely looking at it with a critical lens. I think this show has a lot of longevity. And, you know, at the time of this recording, I just finished wrapping up a recording doing the retrospective for the Raimi movies. And I was talking about how there's only a couple of different Spider-Man projects that I feel that if someone's like, I don't know who Spider-Man is, and they don't want to read comics, there's only a couple of things I would give them to get a perfect idea of who this character is, even if you're not going to read comics. I think Spectacular Spider-Man is the number one that I'd recommend, mainly because it gets everything right. It gets everything right, but not only that, it does a lot of things differently, but in a tasteful way. And it feels the same, but different and new and fresh. This is his man. This is who he is. This is Spider-Man. This is Peter. This is Mary Jane. This is who it is. So yeah, I'd say it stands the test of time. And I agree with you. There's still a huge fandom out there for it. All right. Any other closing thoughts before we close out this episode?
I don't have a closing thought, but I sort of have a spoiler for the future thing that I would like to do. I think you already have seen my kind of redraw of the cover image of Spectacular Spider-Man issue, Amazing Spider-Man issue, with the Venom suit and his classic suit.
Yes.
Yeah, and I came up with the idea to redraw the whole issue of the death of George Stacy in Spectacular Spider-Man style. Yeah, I already started doing the cover. Yeah, maybe someday I'll post it on the internet, on Twitter, but I don't know about Instagram. But on Twitter, I will definitely post the whole 20-something pages of death of George Stacy in Spectacular Spider-Man style.
All right, you guys heard it here first. The Spectacular Spider-Man will stand the test of time. So be sure to let us know your thoughts. And, you know, do you think this show is going to stand the test of time? Be sure to let us know on Instagram at Super Saturdays Podcast, TikTok Super Saturdays Pod, and Twitter at Super Saturday VC, where your messages and your reviews can make their way on this show. I'm Damon.
I'm Haru.
And where can the Supes find you?
You can find me on Twitter. Haru underscore chi ch1. Yeah, that's it.
All right. As always, see you next Saturday, Supes. Oh, and before we close this out, we got one more thing we want you to do, Supes. Get me those pictures of Spider-Man. All right. Happy Spider-Temper.